Bill Browder is an American-born CEO of Hermitage Capital Management. He was also one of the largest foreign investors in Russia until 2005, when he exposed extensive corruption by the Russian government and was blocked from re-entering the country. His lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, remained in Moscow and continued work to prove acts of fraud and tax evasion by Russian officials in the order of $300 million. Magnitsky was later arrested and died while in pre-trial detention. It was a momentous loss that has fueled Bill Browder's activism ever since. For 10 years, he's lobbied governments the world over to adopt the Magnitsky Act, a law that would punish individual human rights violators through sanctions, the freezing of assets, and visa bans. And he joins me now. Bill Browder, welcome to RN Drive.
Great to be here.
Bill, for Australian listeners who might not be familiar with your activism around the Magnitsky Act in the US and elsewhere, can you give a short history of how it came to be?
Well, after Sergei Magnitsky was murdered, we first tried to get justice inside of Russia. And Vladimir Putin circled the wagons. He personally got involved in the cover-up and the exoneration of every person, and even the promotion and honors for some of the most complicit. And so we said, if we can't get justice inside of Russia, we should get justice outside of Russia. And then we said, well, how do we get justice outside of Russia? And the answer was there weren't many tools available at the time. And so we had to come up with our own. And the tool that we came up with was to say, look, this murder took place as a result of a massive corruption scheme. And the corrupt officials don't keep their money in Russia. They keep their money in the West. And so we said to ourselves, if we can freeze their assets and ban their visas, that may not be true justice, but it's much better than the total impunity that these people currently enjoy. And so I took this idea originally to Washington, and I met with two senators, Senator Benjamin Cardin, a Democrat from Maryland, and Senator John McCain, a Republican from Arizona. And I said, can we freeze the assets and ban the visas of the people who killed Sergei Magnitsky? And they said yes. And that became known as the Magnitsky Act. And the Magnitsky Act was a completely bipartisan law in the United States. It passed the Senate 92-4. It passed the House of Representatives with 89%. And in December of 2012, President Obama made it into a federal law.
It was an expanded in 2016, wasn't it, to go beyond just Russia, but to apply globally?
Exactly. So Putin really got mad after the Magnitsky Act was passed in 2012, and he made it his single largest foreign policy priority to try to repeal it. And instead of being intimidated, these senators said, well, if Putin's going to get so mad, there's a lot of other dictators that probably would get mad, too. We should make it global. And in 2014, they initiated the Global Magnitsky Act, and it passed in 2016. And since then, a lot of other countries have followed. And so the Canadian Parliament unanimously passed a Canadian Magnitsky Act in 2017. The UK Parliament unanimously passed a UK Magnitsky Act in 2018. The EU put together and passed a Magnitsky Act in December of 2020. And so we now have, if you add up all the countries that have Magnitsky Acts, there's now 31 countries that have the Magnitsky Act, and it's now been applied in a number of cases by the whole network, for example, against the Chinese authorities who are organizing the concentration camps in Xinjiang. And so it's really become a global tool for fighting impunity and injustice.
And where's the front line of your activism now? Where do you want to see this applied? And I'd like to speak to you, too, about whether you think and this should be applied in Australia.
Well, so I've got two objectives in my ongoing campaign. One is to expand the list of countries, which I'll get to in Australia in a second. And the second is to make sure that this law is used against a lot of bad actors around the world, and to make sure it's used widely and liberally. And so the Australian angle is very crucial in that if you have a Magnitsky Act and it applies to 31 countries, that's 31 countries that these bad guys can't go to and can't keep their money in. But if there are gaps, if there are countries that don't have the Magnitsky Act, like Australia, then these bad people will go to Australia because it'll be an incentive. It'll be like a safe haven for dirty money. Australia is a place that these people want to buy houses and send their kids to school and so on. And so Australia really has a kind of a duty and obligation to have a Magnitsky Act in place.
A report was tabled in December last year. It recommended that Australia should enact a Magnitsky-style law. It would include the things that you've mentioned: bans on entry, capacity to seize assets of individuals found to have violated human rights. We know that there are many flashpoints of that in our region at the moment. Do you know what the holdup is in Australian lawmakers adopting something like this?
I don't know the holdup. There's really no logical reason for it to be held up. The Parliament had an inquiry which lasted a year. They got, I think, more than 150 submissions. I testified. Amal Clooney testified. Jeffrey Robertson, QC, testified. And the report ended up being unanimous, bipartisan. Every political party supported it. And I don't understand why Australia wouldn't do this. It doesn't make any sense to me, really.
And have you had personally any dealings with Australian lawmakers to try to progress that here?
Well, the Australian lawmakers that I'm working with are all sort of hugely enthusiastic about this. We're talking, you know, every week or every 2 weeks about where it is. And at the moment, it's sort of stuck inside the government. The Parliament all supports it, and so it's the government now where the delay is coming from, and there's no clear explanation why they don't just do it. It's pretty straightforward.
A public hearing was held here in Canberra yesterday on developments currently happening in Myanmar. There were submissions from experts, from members of the Myanmar diaspora here, and there were calls in those submissions for Magnitsky-style legislation. How useful would something like that be in targeting high-ranking members of Myanmar's military?
It would be very significant and very useful and something that could be applied today. You know, the Myanmar situation is probably one of the most frustrating and upsetting situations out there. I mean, they're using live ammunition on peaceful demonstrators, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people who've been killed, including children. And the Myanmar generals cannot go forward with impunity, and something needs to be done immediately. And the Magnitsky Act could be done immediately, go after these generals, go after their family members, freeze their assets, not allow them to travel. And it's a necessity that Australia has this tool.
And what does a lever like the Magnitsky Act offer to governments that they may not have in place already as part of wider sanction legislation?
Well, at the moment, there are no tools that allow Australia to sanction human rights abusers. Australia can sanction terrorists. Australia can do UN sanctions when they've been approved by the UN, but this is there are many examples when the UN doesn't act, and so Australia's pretty much got their hands tied behind their back. I mean, for example, Australia didn't join with Canada, the EU, the US, and the UK in sanctioning the Chinese officials who were doing the concentration camps in Xinjiang. I mean, and Australia then issued a press release. The government said, "We support these other countries in doing that." I mean, what is Australia not a country? Australia doesn't have its own capacity to do this? Of course Australia has the capacity to do this, and they should.
And do you imagine that it's risks or reticence to do that because of retaliation? I mean, the Russian government, as you say, has retaliated on various fronts to US action. Do you imagine that's part of it?
I don't know. I mean, the Australian government can handle whatever retaliation comes from Russia or China. I mean, just to give you an example, after the sanctions were passed in all these other countries against the Chinese officials, the Chinese then sanctioned a few British officials and Canadian officials, so they couldn't travel to China. But that's hardly, you know, a reason not to have this legislation. That's just cowardice if that's the reason they're not doing it.
And do you think Australia has a unique role to play in the region in terms of adopting Magnitsky-style legislation?
There's no question. Australia is the place of choice for Asian dictators and kleptocrats to keep their money, send their kids to school, and to have a safe haven away from their own volatile countries. And they cannot be allowed to kill in their own countries and then come and enjoy the beaches of Australia.
Bill, before I let you go, you lost Sergei Magnitsky. He was your friend, he was your colleague, but your activism, it's also cost you personally over this period. Russia's attempted to put you on Interpol's arrest list a number of times. They've labelled you a criminal fugitive. I remember speaking to you a number of years ago. You said at the time that you don't eat in the same restaurant twice for fear of Russian retaliation. How do you manage this personally over the years, keeping up your activism?
Well, I always think back to this absolute horrific tragedy of the torture and murder of my friend and colleague Sergei Magnitsky. He was tortured for 358 days and killed at the age of 37, leaving a wife and two children. And he did that to try to do the right thing, to try to hold the Russian government to account, to not submit to their torture. And he was in a lot more precarious situation than I'll ever be in. And he stood up to them. It's my duty to stand up for him now.
Bill Browder, thank you for being here on RN Drive.
Thank you.
Bill Browder is CEO of Hermitage Capital Management. He's written a book about his experiences as well. It's called Red Notice, a true story of corruption, murder, and how I became Putin's number one enemy. This is RN Drive.